Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you so much. I was actually looking forward to having the concert, but nonetheless, the Lord has provided us with a message, and I'm sure that you'll be blessed by it. I'm confident. Let me start with prayer. Father, I ask that you remove anything from my heart and my mind that would keep me from being the servant that you need to be and keeping me from presenting the message that you have for us. And Father, I ask that you open our ears. Our ears are not itching ears. Our ears are ears that are looking at the Bible and wanting to know truth. Open our hearts and minds that we, when we get this message, that we will accept it and we will apply it to our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Doctrine or tradition? Got it on. I'm trying to advance it. There we go. Okay. Doctrine or tradition? Over the years, as we grow in our faith, a lesson must be learned. There's different facets, but as we grow and mature, there's certain things that we need to get our arms around. We must question most everything and not assume anything. If the world is doing it, we can have a good possibility that if the whole world is doing it, that's not plan A, not for us. We need to know why we believe something and stay true to that. Stay true to that understanding until other truth is given to us and unveiled. Realize that not everyone is on the same mile marker as us. God took Moses and spent 40 years preparing him to go before Pharaoh, and even then, Moses still had a stutter and Aaron did most of the talking. There are young people in this church that can teach us a little bit about service to God, and there's some old coots in this church that will never seem to get it. Just because others are doing it or we are comfortable with watching it being done doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. And if unsure, let's keep our mouths closed until we are sure and let others know and admit that we don't know that answer. Satan's greatest tool is spreading lies and half-truths. That's where he gets us, the half-truths. Satan will tell you, he will give you this much truth and this much false, which makes everything false. His conversation with Eve in the Garden of Eden, the very first conversation, started with a lie. Would y'all advance that? I mean, there you go. Thank you. Genesis 2:16-17. The Lord commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day you eat it, you shall surely die. Only one chapter later, how much? One chapter later, in Genesis 3:4-5, then the serpent said to the woman, you'll not surely die, for God knows that in that day that you eat, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Ever since that time that Eve and Adam took of the forbidden fruit, the truth has been twisted and corrupted by the workings of Satan. The good news is the truth is out there. It's inside this book. But you can't put this book under your pillow at night and expect that some sort of knowledge is going to enter your brain. This book of books that, as Abraham Lincoln called it, cannot sit on your shelf near your chair. And through some sort of osmosis, you grow in its knowledge. You can't expect this book to be your compass towards your path that leads to heaven and a relationship with the Creator sitting on a shelf at night. and only brought out when it's time to go to church? How can a book that's never opened be the lighthouse during our stormy seas? Every walk of every hour, the world works to diminish the truth and to promote a new truth. Those of you that are in your 60s and 70s, I know that you are looking at a world, I know I do. I look at a world, I can't believe the world that I'm looking at now and how it is not only accepted, but is promoted. All the shenanigans that are going on in this world, and I mean shenanigans, if you're 50, 60, 70 years old, you would have never thought when you were 20 years old that something like this would happen. However, the truth is sweet and joyful, comforting and loving to whose hearts that belong to Christ. Would you advance for me, please? This has got to crack y'all up. Allow me to tell you a quick story about how man thinks and how he can be influenced in a way of traditional thinking. A young boy had got his head stuck between the bars and the handrails of his home. He was around six or so. So, you know, a six-year-old, they got a big old melon head on them compared to their body. Got a little bitty body and a big old melon head. He had a stuck head through the bars, and because of the way his ears were shaped, his head was able to get through the bars and the very tight gap between them, but quickly he realized that he was unable to get his head back out. Now the story gets funny and enlightening. The boy's hollering for his mother. The mother's hollering for the husband. The neighbors hear the hollering, and they come running to see what's wrong. And for many minutes, the father works diligently to spread those bars to free his son. To no avail, however. A decision was called in the calling the fire department. When a young man just walking down the street and sees the commotion, asks if he could help. Because of the many minutes spent between the father and the neighbors trying to free this melon-headed boy out between those bars, they did not take his offer very seriously. In fact, they kind of dismissed him. However, and good that he did this, the young man insisted on being allowed to help. All traditional thinking had been applied in releasing the boy from this troubling situation. The young man went against all logic and began to assist the boy in not getting his head out. But he had the little boy turn his body and he pushed him all the way through there and came out just as easy as you could imagine. Everyone is standing around in amazement, and the young boy just walked on down the street. He did not succumb to, he didn't apply all the thinking that was going on around him. He knew what was right, and he just merely applied those physics to the problem. Next slide, please. There you go. Do we go to church to learn and be uplifted by God in our presence? Do we do it because others go and we wish to blend in? Do we worship out of habit or out of love for our Creator? Do we worship out of fear that something may bad happen to us if we don't? Thank you. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has its own doctrine, just like every other faith out there. So what's the big deal about our doctrine and how it differs from others? We know personally many real Christians that go to different denominational churches that are faithful. Though heaven will be filled with people of other denominations. So what is it about our believing that's so important that we hang on to and not let go? Do we not all serve the same God? So does it matter how we serve God if we think we're serving Him as we think we should? Hear what I said. Are we serving God because how we think we should? Or are we serving God how He tells us to serve Him? From the books In His Steps, a lot of y'all may not know this book, but it was a guideline to following in the steps of the Savior. It came out in 1996 by the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and it gives this introduction. The highest goal of life in this earth and for all eternity is to learn to walk with God as a friend. This is plain throughout the Bible. Genesis 3, we read that God seeking out Adam and Eve to walk with them in the cool of the day. In Genesis 5, we read about Enoch, the first man taken to heaven from earth. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Noah. Noah was one man whose family God saved from the flood. He was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. In Genesis 6:9. Although the New Testament Jesus is instructing us to follow Him, to walk with Him, to abide in Him, all through the New Testament, Jesus is asking us to walk with Him. If we are walking beside Jesus, we don't have to worry of anything. Studying the scriptures, knowing the characters that are within the Holy Bible, and knowing what they went through and what was their relationship to God is the map to understanding how we can walk with God. If we can read to our children the stories of the characters in Bible, they will have a good foundation of understanding the cause and effect. We want to be like Enoch and walk with God. And the Bible will tell us the outcome of Enoch if we do that. Knowing what we believe, why we believe it, and to whom we believe in prepares us daily in our quest to be able to walk in the cool of the day with our Creator and our Savior. Our doctrines are proven through the scriptures as truths that will tear away the veil of superstitions and traditions of man. Our knowledge of the scriptures, which lead us to the doctrines, keep us on the path desired by us from God. Each day, we do not need to reestablish our beliefs. We know what we know because we study the scriptures and have confirmed this understanding. And when I brought about the classrooms that we have of the amazing facts, you know what you know because the Bible told us so. And we don't have to go all over and start to plan A every morning. When we wake up in the morning, we know what we know. And until God gives us a bit more understanding, we need to run with what we know and stick with it because it matters. We have not gotten our truths from someone else, but through study and prayer. And the truths have been revealed. We will not waver by the world's influences because our truths have been given to us by God. We need to stand up as our Venice beliefs because the Bible tells us that that is what we should believe. We're not doing it because our parents brought us to church. We're not here because it's in close proximity to our home. We're here because this is where God wants us to be. God wants you to be here. Allow me to be more specific. If what I mean is proven through Scripture, doctrines of our faith may differ from those of other fellowships. The state of the dead. Be ready, I'm going to need that slide with the PowerPoint for 1 Corinthians. Very regularly I hear from those speak of loved ones that looking down on them as they persevere through this time of earth. This is a very popular, strongly held belief, but is it scriptural? Well, let's see. 1 Corinthians. I need 1 Corinthians 15:51. There you go. Thank you. Behold, I will tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Thessalonians, please. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. It's working great now. Thank you. Thank you. How does one get from these and many more examples that at death we are immediately taken up to heaven? The lamp scripture did not say that Jesus would arrive with those that he had already raised and taken to heaven and then raise them up again. That's not what it said. We better stick to this. This is the only compass that God gives us. That and our prayer and in our daily walk. Other than this, we better not be grabbing another compass. We're going to find ourselves being eaten by polar bears because we're looking for the center of earth and we're going to go to the North Pole. To those that have died and were faithful, yes, their first awakening is seeing Jesus in the clouds as they've been asleep for some time. But to them, it's only been immediately. But for us, it may have been many, many years that they were in the grave. The day of worship. Does it matter what day we worship as our fellowship time? As long as we worship, it's okay with God. God knows mine and your hearts. He understands. I hear this regularly. Let's see what the scripture says. Genesis 2, yeah. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts with them were finished, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified, because in it he rested from all of his work which he had done. Isaiah 56. Well, it's not working again. Could y'all go to advance Isaiah 56? Thank you. Also the sons of the foreigners who joined themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord. And Daniel 7:25. Thank you. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times and a half times. Nothing in there about any other special day other than that one day. It mattered to him. God's law nailed to the cross. We've heard that, right? I've heard that my whole life. I got a brother who's a Baptist minister. And he hits me with that so many times, you know, and I love that boy to death, and he's going to be in heaven with me. How many of us have heard that commandment was done away with? What is the argument? Jesus only demands that I love him and be a good person. I go to church. I'm honest. God knows my heart. I don't drink very often. I party less than most. I'm friendly with my neighbors. I give to the church when I can. You know, I got so much going on in my house that sometimes it's a little more difficult for me to get to church. It's so inconvenient at times. But me and God, we talk one-on-one. That's the world talking. This is the world making it easy for you and me to not do much other than what is comfortable and easy. The comfortable and easy is not good for us. We want it rough and difficult. Keeps it sharp. Let's go to PowerPoint, Deuteronomy 4:13. Thank you. You see that there, the Ten Commandments given not to the Jews, but to Israel. This is given to Israel, not the Jews. You got the girl with Ecclesiastes. Please go to Ecclesiastes for me. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, for fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And 1 John, please. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfect in him. But by this we know that we are in him. There's no better time than now to look at Jesus for an example. He left for us to follow as a leader of his time. Jesus worshiped on the Sabbath, but not like those that made it a task or a burden. Instead, he desired to worship in joy. Jesus interacted daily with his fellow citizens, not for profit, not for prestige, and certainly not for power. Jesus read in the synagogue the scriptures, not to find fault with his brothers and sisters' failings, therefore making himself feel superior, but in order to teach about the character of God and to instruct us in what God desires for us. You know, we have in our own history in the United States an example of a man that searched God daily. Our history was changed because he searched the scriptures for the truth that was inside them. He wasn't an Adventist. He didn't know what Adventist was. But he made an impact on us that still today resonates. He lived his life in a way that showed a nation that God was truly at the head of this nation. At a time when evil was attempting to tear it apart, this man prayed for light to be shined on the path that God wished that he followed, that for him to follow. Not wanting to follow the traditions of the leaders that preceded him, he wished only to be a servant God desired him to be. From the humblest of beginnings, rising to the highest position in our country, Abraham Lincoln was a man of God first, then all else second. You can't read about the life of Abraham Lincoln and not have it address something about his faith in God and his willingness to put God first. His stand was when he stood in front of the Congress and the Senate, was always when he was in battle. He said, how can you argue against God? And his attitude served him very well. Do we make ourselves familiar with the book, the book of books, as he called it, that we too can use God's words and not our words to oppose wrong? Are we engaged with prayer enough that our understanding is strong? Or will we may stand the test of strong winds that will come from worldly influences? Once saved, always saved. I've heard that one. How about the 2 Timothy? I think that's the next one. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Oh, back one more. 2 Timothy. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their desires, because they have itching ears. They heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. I believe the sower and the seeds in the Bible tells us much more about our salvation. Would y'all go to Matthew 13, 5, 6, please, the next one? Thank you. The seeds are cast out on all types of soil and terrain. The seeds are cast out on all types of soils and terrains. Some fell on stony places where they had not much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun came up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Now, if this seed immediately sprang up, it means that these people welcomed it into their hearts. They believed what they heard, and the seed sprouted. Thus, if it withered away, something that was once living had died. This means that some people who have received salvation at some point lost it because they did not grow deeper roots in Christ. When the winds came, they blew away. They dried up and blew away. A specific Bible example is King Saul. He was chosen by God and even spirit-filled, but then he fell away. He was not picked through a general election, but was chosen by God. Did the Lord choose Saul to make an example of him and then just cast him away? No. God chose this Benjamite because he was the Lord's choice. At first, Saul was filled with the Holy Spirit. He even prophesied, but he allowed pride to spring up in his heart, and he grieved the Holy Spirit away, and he lost his salvation. Last slide, please. In closing, we've only touched on a few such examples of what the world is trying to tell us. We did not go too far in detail. This is not the time or place. But I did, I believe, gave you some sound doctrine that supports everything I said. I do not say believe everything I told you. I say open your Bible and prove me right or prove me wrong. More importantly, prove to yourself what the Bible teaches. This is the compass that God has provided. Use it or surely you'll be lost. We invite you all to take advantage of the studies that this church offers. There's new members. There's new vitality. There are new personalities and new talents that we're going to start seeing in this church this coming year. And I'm excited for us all. Let us take advantage of that. Let's not rush home and pass up an opportunity for a Bible study or a prayer group. Let's not pass up on an opportunity to be in fellowship with one another and have a ministry. I wasn't 3 weeks ago. What is your ministry? This tells you that you need to have a ministry. You need to find it and commit to it. For if you do not, the world will certainly make every effort to sway you out of this building and outside that world. Thank you. Thank you.